Good afternoon, Muskegon. My name is Tony Williams.
My name is Chauncey Williams. And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, man, I am fantastic. Getting ready for the holiday season. And it's exciting. It's exciting. I enjoy this time of the year.
Yes, this is, I do too, also, because of the winding of the year, breaking the year down, and just being thankful for what you've been put through and what you've gained, the knowledge, and just about the blessings, and just having family around and having being able to breathe and live life.
You're right. You're right. You know, this is time of the year when you're supposed to sit back and reflect on the past year, right? Talk about some of the successes. Maybe if there was failures, what you're going to do to try to improve next year. You know, leaving certain things in 2015, creating different kinds of activities in 2016. So yeah, this is a great time of the year for me, Chauncey.
Yeah, me too. It's like, and you said an important word, reflection, looking back at the year and see what worked for you and what didn't work, who worked in your circle, who didn't work in your circle.
Right.
You know, who was toxic, who was contributing to your life, and who was building you up, and most importantly, how you're moving financially.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of why financially at the end of the year, you know, that's when your tax time, your income stops. And so at that point, you can determine what you earned that year, what you have for deductions, what you're going to receive as a refund, or what you got to pay the government. So it's kind of ironic at the end of the year, the government looks at it the same way as to what you have in the pot that they want. So, again, to me, it's an important time of the year to look back and make sure that we don't repeat the failures, if we've had any, in 2016. So, that's kind of where I'm at today. What we got on our agenda today?
I was just thinking back last week and just thinking today. Like you said, we're winding down the year. And during the holiday time, it's not good for everybody. Some people owe some money.
Oh, yeah.
Some people owe some bills. And sometimes they rob Peter to pay Paul, or they got more month than money at the end of the month.
Right.
And they want to have a good Christmas. So some people getting those collection calls right now. And I can remember doing a video almost about 5 years ago. It was on YouTube where I made a skit of a collection call.
Oh, okay.
And I just went through the rules and the regulations of it. And that's when I was getting into this business. It was around about 2008 when I really was getting deep into it and really studying and learning the knowledge of it and learning how to deal with it, because I dealt with so much stuff in the past. I just made that video on YouTube, and I think it got like 30,000 hits.
Oh, that's great.
And people were commenting on it, talking about the Fair Credit Reporting Act, consumer credit rights and laws. So today's show, I got some brief pointers that I want to just discuss today. And just go on and just break down and just have your assistant on helping me get through these, because I know in the past I've dealt with it, and you probably had clients and people that have dealt with it in the past, or just building your life in the past. I mean, you weren't always Tony at Farmers Bureau Insurance.
No. I worked in the collection industry back in the 70s.
Okay, so you know about what I'm about to talk about today. So that's good. So you'll be having some great expertise. It's always good to have you around. So some of the things, just opening dialogue with creditors, discovering ways to pay down your debt, coming to terms with significant others, like your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, about debts and when you have joint accounts, being proactive with creditors and collectors, knowing what you don't have to put up with from collectors, and figuring out what to say and finding someone who can help you when a collector can't or won't help you. So there's some things I want to talk about today. I didn't know you worked in the 70s doing that. So,
oh yeah,
man, that's a rough business. Oh, yeah. Tony, go into a little bit of detail about that, because they got it bad.
Yeah, they do. I want to get into that, but I want to cover one thing while it's still on my mind before I forget about it. When we talked about taxes and debt, and when individuals marry and one of them may have a child support issue, you can file what they call an injured spouse form, which basically kind of relieves you of that debt obligation. So when if it's any kind of money, liens attached to your refund, you are exempt from that because you actually file that injured spouse form. So if you have that situation, make sure you talk to your tax folks about not making you have to pay for your spouse's debts.
Wow, man. A lot of people need to hear that, because I've actually heard people not wanting to get married because they got child support, back child support with somebody else, and then they held them up. So they can have an opportunity to get out of a situation, and they could probably marry or not marry or what? How do you explain that?
Well, so in servants, of course, it's the husband that has the child support issue. And if they file jointly, him and the new wife, then their income becomes subject to that lien of child support. But the wife can actually file injured spouse forms and opt out of that obligation. So whatever her portion of the refund is coming back, she will get that full amount versus her portion being also attached to the child support lien. So she can get out of having to pay his child support.
Okay, because I've heard situations in the past where, say, if somebody owned a property or had a bank account or something and they were married, they were able to go into their spouse's bank account and take the funds.
That's possibly. I don't know for sure, but that is possible. The one law that I do know about is the one that pertains to the injured spouse. But in the state of Michigan, once you get married, it becomes like community property. So, yeah, that is quite possible that the property could be attached as far as the lien goes for child support. So you definitely would want to get advice from your tax advisor prior to getting married if you know of any kind of a situation of your spouses that might have some financial implications.
Okay. All right. So that's a great golden nugget that you just gave away, that it's some people, because I've had some clients actually call me this week about I know they student loan debt and saying that they need to deal with it because they default or they about to get garnished. I said, you need to do that ASAP, because if you don't, they're going to put a lien on it. And I told them, it's a 1-800 number they can call when they go to their tax preparer and see if they owe any funds.
Yeah.
Because if they don't do that, they're going to
take the check.
They send you what, a statement? Like, thank you for paying.
Yes, they'll send you a statement with a balance, which says we're going to get the rest of it next year.
Yeah, that's so, right. So,
but, yeah, the injured spouse also can be used for student loans too.
Okay, so yeah, that'll keep if your spouse got default student loans about to get garnished, you fill out that document, you'll be able to deal with that. So that's what our show is gonna be about today, helping you maneuver through the collection process and dealing with creditors. Because I know that we're not saying that because you can't pay a debt don't mean you're a bad person. And a lot of times anxiety comes around people, they think they're bad, but don't think like that. Your money does not make who you are.
Right.
We know people get sick. We know people go through conditions in life. They lose jobs. We know that happens to you. But why not approach it in the right way, taking the strategies that we're giving you so you can rebound and come back and be good with your financial steward, being a good financial steward of your finances?
Yeah, because back in the 70s, when I worked in the collection industry, the laws were very laxed. There were a lot of things going on that you can't do today. Back in the 70s, you could particularly just could harass people. Could call them all day, show up at their house, at their job, just all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's why Congress has passed laws. So you, as a debtor, you do still have rights. The creditor does not hold all the cards in the game. So it's up to you to make sure that you know what your rights are as a debtor and hold your creditor to those.
Two documents are called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and the Consumer Credit Protection Act that prohibits abusive practices by debt collectors. So those are two documents that helps you as a consumer when you purchase something and you get in a situation where you possibly get behind on a payment or you can't make a payment, or it's certain things and stipulations set up for you don't have to go through harassment.
Right. There are certain hours of the day. And I think it's like 9 to 8. They can call you. And there's just, they can't repeatedly call you either. They can't threaten you with physical abuse, which I've heard happens. So, again, it's imperative that you as a debtor know those rules. And Chauncey gave those to you. And all that information is available on the various websites.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, on various websites. And once again, those two laws are, it's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and it's the Consumer Credit Protection Act, and they prohibit abusive practices by debt collectors. You can go right online, just type in those two names, and you'll be able to Google it, and it'll come right up, and you can get your expectation. A lot of times, it's a document. It's a lot of pages, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
because I know when I went through a financial situation, I had to go to an actual class, and I had to print up a whole booklet and read the whole booklet and learn what can and what can happen to debts that I had and things I was dealing with. Mm-hmm. So when you're in situations like that, so it's just things to look at. So I just want to just go through some things today and just help them out and just let you know that there is help out there. First thing is just taking action on the on the help instead of the hurt. First thing you need to know is how much you owe, how many credit lines you have, like what kind of credit lines you have. If you have credit cards, if you have installment loans, if you have a home loan, if you got credit cards you close, things you open, you got medical bills, doctor bills, like you said, tax liens, judgments, you need to pull a credit report. That's just the first thing you need to do to see what's going on, especially this time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get one for free from each one.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of times people say, oh, this one is better than that one. No, they're going to merge all three of them and give you a score. Mm-hmm. So it's good for you to see who you owe at this time of the year, because when you file for your tax, you don't want them to get garnished and taken away from you. So you want to be able to start the process off fresh and right.
And also it helps stem fraud. You know, some people will look at it and say, well, with my credit, who would want to fraud my identity? But still, though, you still want to make sure that there's not someone out there using your identity to use other credit cards.
And that's talking about credit cards. That was my next pointer, putting the brakes on your charging. Like when you think about your credit cards, that season. Here's the season to be jolly.
Yes.
Here's the season. They go into the stores and play that music, and you pull that credit card out. It's like the theme song to spend your money.
Yeah, people get caught up in the moment.
Yep, put them earplugs in. You don't need it. But it talks about, it says, keep balances on your credit card as low as below 50% or of their limits if possible. So if you have a credit card that's $400, keep it at $200. If you got it at $5,000, don't get it to $2,500. Don't do that. Don't do that. Or if you're the type of person like I am, I use a credit card and I pay it off at the end of the month for either gas or services like that. I give my wife one, and this is her credit card used for the month. And then it's a bill that I have a bill pay on it, and I pay it off at the end of the month, that exact month, whatever it is. And she spends that every month. So that's just something that I do every month, and that bills revolving credit for me.
Yep, help you track your expenses.
Yep. So that's one of the points dealing with credit. Another one is pay off debts rather than move them around if you can. When I say move them around, a lot of times people get one credit card and they move the balance to the next one.
Yeah, they give you some kind of a introductory offer of 0% if you do a transfer of balance from another credit card.
Yeah, and then it goes to if you want to transfer it, they transfer it, but that balance is still lingering.
Oh yeah.
But now you got two accounts, one zero, then one's got this other balance that's there, and now you got debt to ratio income is being dealt with in a negative way, in an adverse way on your credit report.
Yeah, I've never used that particular service, but I would imagine at some point in time that introductory rate does not apply for any balances that are outstanding. So you may want to just read the fine print on those.
And the last one is don't close unused credit cards. Like a lot of times people say they want to close a credit card, but if you got a good balance on it, you got a good history, why not keep it open? But if you don't have good habits with it, I recommend closing it. But you always can call and open it back up too also.
Okay.
But you don't want to just get rid of stuff like that because it's got a history in it. If you got 5 years with a good credit card company and you got paid as agreed and you decide to close something, now you done close something positive.
Gotcha.
On your file. So then
it makes sense.
It makes you just think about those things. The pointer that we want to talk about today, this is the things we're gonna be getting, is communicating with your creditors. That's the serious thing. And it's things you talk about, like when you say, all right, I got a creditor calling me, a collection agency calling me. First, the creditor calls you, whoever owns the property.
Okay.
Calls you first. And a lot of times people think that they are someone that's bad. No, it could be something that happened to you unexpected. It could be unfortunate, undeserved events, lack of flocked of unwanted relatives. Sometimes people show up at your door when you get a little money and they say, let me borrow this, let me get this, and you don't get the money back in time, and now you behind on your bills because you done had a good heart to lend out to people. That happens. I've seen that happen in the past. It's just different situations that you look at and you say, well, when it gets to the point where you got to deal with a creditor, you can't tell them, say, oh, I lent some money to my cousin and I'm going to pay you back when he pay me back. They're not going to go for it.
No, they're saying, don't make your problem my problem.
Exactly right. You're exactly right about that. So just communicating with your creditors, being able to say, it's three kind of customers when you're dealing with creditors. It's good customers who pay as agreed, good customers with a temporary problem who are willing to work things out, and bad customers who have to be chased. So if anything, if you're in a bad situation, I've been in a second situation. Okay. A good customer with temporary problem who are willing to work things out. And in the past, I always came up with a strategy when I got to the situation. And situations where I would have to be able to, the best thing to do is explain your situation going through it. The first thing is begin with a conversation on a positive note. So if you see that phone, you pick your phone up, and they calling you, and he's like, bling, bing, you looking, and it's private.
All right,
or it's an 800 number you don't recognize. Don't send it to the voicemail. Answer it and start it on a positive note. Because especially if it's a creditor and it's not a collection agency,
right?
They want to keep your money on the books. They want to keep your money on that promissory note. They want that payment coming best way it can come because that's going to make their accounts look good. So answer that phone is the first thing. And begin, just be positive. secondly, get the person's name. Brief in 1 minute. Explain your circumstance. If you just lost your job, if you're going through something, if you just got out of jail. I mean, that happens. I mean, it's just, or you went to the hospital. I don't know your situation. Answer the phone. Don't put them off because the next stage is a collection agency.
Right.
So you don't want to do that. So these are just some pointers for people just to think about and stick to the facts. The facts is the truth, not your opinion. The facts is the truth about what's going on with yourself financially so they can know. And you can know, and then they can devise a good plan for you.
Because they've heard all the stories, right?
Yes, they have. They're good at it. It's like being a teacher in the classroom like me. They know the game.
They done heard it.
And then that gets to the next point. So after you get some clarity of the situation, you tell them the truth, you give them the facts about what's going on in your life. Because especially if you got a good payment history, if they look over your life, they're like, this person been paying on time for 3 years straight in a row. We can give them a chance.
Right. Instead of $100 a month, maybe $50 a month.
Yep. Let's work out the payment. Let's do it at the end of the month for you then. You can't make the payment on the third. Well, we'll stretch it to the 27 on you. We're going to charge you interest on the back of the loan, but you won't be late.
Right.
You won't count as a 60-day, 30-day payment late. So it's just the second thing is offering a solution after you do that. After you set up that positive conversation, you talking to them, now offer them a solution. It says assure the creditor that you are already taking steps to resolve the problem right now. It's like, well, you're like, well, my next pay period, I get this. I know this payment was $300. I can only afford to make this.
Okay.
Can you work out something for me? Can you do those things for you? Is that feasible? And if you've been a good steward over what they've been doing with this company, they'll work with you because they don't want to lose that account. They don't want to send it to collections because they do lose money.
When they send it to collections, they basically has written it off their books as a bad debt. Okay. At the end of the year, when they have to answer the stockholders and shareholders, they don't want to have a whole lot of that on their books. Certain percentage, yeah, they know it's going to happen.
Loss prevention, yes.
Right. It's just a part of doing business, a 1% loss to bad debts. So, of course, they want to do everything they can do to help you pay that note off while it's in their possession, not send it to a collection agency.
Okay. Offer an estimate of how long you realistically need to rectify the situation. Not when they call you and you talk and say, yeah, I'm trying to see you need to make a payment. What are you looking to make? Visa, MasterCard, American Express. It's like I've been in that situation in the past before. So it's like I'm not talking to people like I'm just a millionaire or like I've just always been doing the right thing. So a lot of times you learn how to do the right thing because you did the wrong thing.
Yes.
Sometimes you learn by experience. I don't want everybody to have to learn by experience. Get the knowledge and use it. So they do that. That's the first thing they'll do. It's like Visa, MasterCard. This is a recording. This is a recording call. Do you know that? Like you accept the terms? Yes.
Right.
So now when they ask you, can you make a payment today? It's like I don't know. If you don't say I don't know. Say when you think you're gonna get paid, I don't know when I'm gonna get paid. That's gonna speed up the process.
Treat them like they're your fool, right?
That's gonna speed up the process, and then you're gonna be in collection. You're gonna be in garnish, or they're gonna come take something from you, and then you're gonna be like, man, you didn't deal with them in the right manner. So you want to make sure that you propose a specific payment figure and plan that you can manage. Offer specifics when they can take it out. Don't get this one thing you don't want to do. Don't send no post-dated checks.
Oh, no.
But my mother used to say this. Don't write a check that your behind can't cash.
I know it. Every household.
Don't do that. So you want to make sure that you offer specifics. Like, all right, please. I know I owe $300 this month, but can you take $75 here, $50 here, and then take $100 here, $200 there? They're like, okay, we can do that. They'll work that out. Especially if the first one go through, then they'll set those payments up.
That's good.
Actually, in the past, I've done this with a car I had some years ago when I came out of a terrible financial situation. I made double payments every month. And it was double payments. I think the payment was like a $300 payment a month. I took the payment and I made $175 twice. Mm-hmm. And the company allowed me to do that. And it paid off the car faster. And when I got extra money, because I could have actually made the $300 payment twice, so I went up to $200 a month.
Okay.
So it started getting paid an extra $100. After I started figuring out, I said, wow, I could really do that. I'm beating the interest by doing that.
Yeah, you reduce that interest.
Yep. So and it helped me. It helped deal with the payments at that time. I remember doing my first car like that, paying double payments, and they dealt with it. They didn't charge me extra anything. That company was good.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times they won't charge you a fee for paying it off fast.
Yep. And the last one is don't overpromise. Like you overpromise, like yeah, and you they give you a deal, they contract it, they write it up. They're gonna write it up in their transaction line. They're gonna type it up in there, and then whatever they have for you, they're gonna say, all right, you agree with this, Mr. Williams? And right. You say yes. That's good as a contract.
That's what they expect.
They expect that. So when you don't do that, and you're held liable after that. So those are some things that's offering a solution for your situation, and then just set up a filing system, knowing who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
What's the account number, when you talk to them, and what you promised to pay. Have that somewhere, either email or something saved, and have them send it to you, and you send it back to them, so you at least you know that you got something.
Yeah, it's turnover in that industry. So it means if the person that you dealt with is no longer there and somebody takes that over, then they don't have to come at you fresh. You got some documentation to say, hey, well, this is what we had agreed on based on the prior consultant. So you're absolutely right. Keep those notes.
Yeah, keep those notes. Another point that I have, talking about, like you mentioned, joint debt earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In my household, I don't believe in joint debt. We do everything. We file for things separately because I always look at, and I don't try to put a lot of stuff in my wife's name.
Okay.
I expect her to have, one person in the house need to have an 800 credit score.
Gotcha.
And I think my wife is like close to that. And she was like, wow, my credit is good. I said, that's right. And you're not getting nothing in your name either. Because one day we're going to need your name to do some big things. I said, I'm the money manager here.
Right.
So a lot of times we do things. But I believe in God's laws and governing that we don't have to have joint things to say we married. Like sometimes people marry or people not married and they bought a house together.
Okay.
You know, that's not a bond. You know, they bought
not
a car.
Good.
They co-signed a car for their boyfriend. That's not,
not
a ring. That's not a wedding.
Not
that's
good.
Not a marriage. So you got to think about the things that you're dealing with and what kind of bind you're going in, because when you sign something joint with someone, you're taking it to their habits about money too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that somebody can be a bad person with managing money, but let's say you do get sick and you get in a situation where you probably lose your job or something, but then you got a spouse or somebody, a significant other at home with excellent credit, and they're not tied to everything. All the cars, they're not tied to the house. They're not
right.
tied to. So now you got somebody with a solid name that you can probably use their credit to build your life back again.
Right.
So a lot of times that joint stuff can hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to sit down and talk with your spouse, just seeing how you can build that back. So that's just something I just wanted to talk about, just joint accounts. A lot of times people say, we got a house together. You don't have to have all the time. If you really bonded and married, you don't need that.
Nope.
You don't need that.
Nope, because if something were to happen in the state of Michigan, reverts to the spouse anyway.
Yep, it goes anyway. So it's like, I don't know how people, I understand that they say you could buy more house with two people credit reports. I mean, they say you buy by having somebody on that extra, but I just don't believe in that. I don't support that.
You know, I guess it's back to the premise as to, how much house do you need?
There you go.
You know, so if one person can get that on the strength of their credit and their earnings, you're right. Just have that one person tied to it while the other person can take on some other debt
that's
smaller, if possible.
Yeah, and I truly believe in that. Just and some pointers I listed, I just, like you said, my father always told me that. He said, if your income can take care of everything in the house and then your spouse make either what you make or more, imagine what you can do financially in your growth or growing your business or what you can save. Mm-hmm. And I always try to follow that model even in my business. Like my wife helps me manage my business, and it's growing because she's with me jointly in my business, not on certain things.
Right.
And her credit is building, so that day when we come, we need some business credit, she could be that person in that situation. So it's just, but it started with a conversation. Here's some pointers. Agreeing on goals,
Very important.
Man, it's not just like I love you. It's I love you financially. I'll take care of you. You take care of me. You talk to me about this budget that we're living on.
And everybody's got to commit to it,
yeah,
right?
Everybody.
That's the commitment.
That's the joint. We ain't got to have a car in your name and my name together.
No.
Let's talk about an agreement on some financial future goals together.
Right.
You know? I just hear people approach me all the time, like young couples say, we just got married, Chan. I want you to talk to my and my spouse to talk some money about us and have a meeting or something. I said, you first got to have a talk with him.
Yeah.
First. You sit him down first because, or you sit her down first because it's a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've mentioned this in one of the other programs. What is the number one cause of divorce?
Man,
it's finances.
Finance.
Money.
And the second thing is when you go into a relationship, when you think about joint things, eliminating debt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get married, why would you want to acquire debt together? Let one person, if your income can take that, you take that.
Right.
And then if she can help you pay for it, that's great. But like you said, you're under God's covenant when you're married anyway, so you don't have to be under the contract, a financial contract.
Right, or the creditors.
Yeah, or the creditors. paying bills on time, setting up automated payments, keeping track of your check writing, and just having a savings where you can put a certain amount of money in that savings all the time. That's what can be joint. I think that would be a good thing. That's joint.
Yeah, savings would be joint. Yeah, joint savings accounts.
the next thing I have is knowing what collectors can and can't do. So it's just, this goes back to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. That list some things. First thing is, you have to ask when you're fighting harassment, ask for a name. First thing is, approach it relaxed. Take a deep breath, relax, and say, "All right, I know they're harassing me. How do I deal with it?" Just say no when you feel like it's getting out of control. Say no on the phone. Like you said, in the '70s, it was a point of harassment, and some companies still try to play that game.
Well, I'm sure they
to
do
this day. Can contact the original creditor. So when they get to a collection agency, contact the original creditor.
Right.
I found out they'll work with you better than the collection agency.
They're not trained at intimidation.
Yep. They wanted the account off their books. That's all they want. So they'll deal with that. Contact the collection manager. Whoever's the manager of that corporation, you can say, "Can I speak to the manager?"
Mm-hmm.
Just do it in a calm and cool way. And tell them to tell it to your lawyer. That's a double-edged sword.
Right.
Because then there you get subpoenaed for court, too. There how you come in and then for a garnishment or a repossession or something, and you'll be dealing with them in an adverse way. So you don't want to take it to that stage. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that if you use the lawyer card that you can afford to have one in case it gets to that. So
retainer fee is expensive, I know.
Okay.
Retainer fees are expensive, so you got to be able to have a great relationship with an attorney to say that you're going to call your lawyer.
Yeah.
Because when you do that to the companies that are multi-million dollar companies, they got them on tap.
They'll come after you.
They got a button they can push and it'll be somebody calling you.
Yeah.
things a debt collector is not allowed to do are use threats. They can't threaten you or annoy you. They only can call you probably at certain times of the day. And I think it's getting to the point where they can call you one time and leave a message.
One time a day. They can't. What used to be prevalent was they would call your neighbors. Okay. Yeah, they would call your neighbors and basically give them the deadbeat spiel. You know, try to find out what are your hours, you know, do they work? Try to get information about you from their neighbors. Yeah, they go to a Bresler's, it's called Bresler's, and what it does, it'll list every address in a particular city. And then it'll have the address and the phone numbers of each household on either side of you. So there's ways of getting that information. Yeah, that used to be a common practice.
Wow, the next one is deceive you. They can't deceive you. Lie about the consequences or make, what you said earlier, idle threats.
Right.
But they can do this. They can contact you directly unless you tell them to contact your attorney and give them the attorney's contact information. Contact you by phone between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. You mentioned that, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Call you at work, they can. Because if you put it on that contract where you work at, they will call that number. Contact you by mail. Contact others to get information on where you live and work. You mentioned that also.
Mm-hmm.
They can boost your bill. They can add a late fee or a charge. Ask for a post-dated check, which I don't recommend. Don't get them a post-dated check. Just work out a term.
Don't do it.
Report your delinquency to the credit bureaus, all three. Raise your interest rate. Or repossess your purchase. That's the one that make you think, like, that's when it's getting serious. And then after that happens is take you to court. Then it revise the terms of your contract. So they'll change your contract where it'd be longer terms or higher interest, or accept or offer a settlement for less than the full amount. That's what I recommend people to do. When you get to the point of the collections, that means they purchase your debt.
Mm-hmm.
And when they purchase your debt, they purchase on about, depends on what it is. It could be they could purchase it for 60% of the cost or 40%. And it gets to the point where you get letters in the mail where they say, we'll take your debt. If you owe $1,000, we'll take $500 right now. We'll mm-hmm. take $600. We'll take $700. They are offering you a settlement because they want to get that promissory note off their bank books.
That's right.
Because they got a statute of limitations to move on that when that dollar, because the dollar appreciates on property. We talk about that all the time. Vehicles.
Right.
Furniture. It's just several things that don't appreciate in value. They depreciate. So it's like they look at it and say, well, if we can get something, because this company that already bought the debt.
Right. They paid for it. You're absolutely right.
So then now they're trying to collect and see if they can make some money off of it. And then,
yeah, because they got to pay the person that calls you, right?
Yes, they do.
You got to pay them a wage. It costs them money for the stationery that they have to send you. Then you have postage. So they're, you know, they've already purchased it, and now they're spending additional money into this debt. So, of course, if they can get a portion of that debt in a one-time payment, they're willing to take that and cut their losses and keep moving.
Right. These are the final points I want to give you. So when you're preparing to answer a collection call, these are the things I want you to do, audience. Because, it's holiday time. I know you're trying to have a good time buying gifts and everything. But these are some points that you can do. Get the caller's name and contact information. Use the collector's name when you're talking to them. Ask for proof of the debt. Always ask, can they send it in the mail as a bill? Explain your situation. Make an offer. If they say you owe a certain amount, it's collections, if it's $1,000, make an offer to them that say, I could pay that right now because it's tax time. Don't agree or commit what you can't keep. And get the last one, most important one, get it in writing, even after you pay for it. Because now you got something that will help you delete it off your credit report and get it removed once you get, say, paid as agreed, whatever the debt was, and they'll sign off right on that. So these are some things that you can do. But this is what not to say, too. Don't let yourself get drawn into a shouting match. I've seen it. I've watched videos on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually heard it. Don't make threats. Don't say you're getting a lawyer if you don't intend to. Don't say you're going to file bankruptcy if you don't plan to. And don't lie for sympathy. My mother's in the hospital. What you done heard? You do collection. What do you have? Man, you heard, Tony? Come on, bro.
I heard it all. You know, like you say, mom in the hospital, husband ran off with the babysitter. You know, the kids is going crazy. I had to stay at home. I lost my job. I mean, you name it. I heard it back in that industry of debt and credit collection. So again, these people are trained and on what they do, and they've heard it all, and they have a script too that they want to stick to. But the pointers that Chauncey said kind of levels the playing field, okay? And that's the best thing that you can do, is let those folks know that you are willing to work to eliminate this debt, and you'll be surprised at the outcome of the situation.
Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.